Good evening. The topic of this evening's shiur is Kavod Sefer Torah. We know that Sefer Torah, you know, that we have in the Aron Kodesh is considered one of the holiest objects that we have in our religious practice. And the halacha mandates certain honor that we have to give to afford to the Sefer Torah. So I'd like to go through some of the halachas regarding Kavod Sefer Torah and the practical ramifications. First, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yossi Omer Kala Mechaber Satorah Gufo Mechubar Al Habrios. If somebody is Mechaber the Sefer Torah, so the person will be Mechubar. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ezel Kovet Sefer Torah, Shigoy Nif Svarim B'Kaka, he can't put the Sefer Torah on the ground, Oyeshe B'Safso V'Kise Shim Omnim Shom, he can't put a Sefer Torah on a bench and then sit on that same bench. So those are some of the rudimentary halachas. But let's go see what else the Chazal have in mind about the covenant of Sefer Torah. So the first part of our discussion can be found on page 4 is a Zirach from the Rambam. And the Rambam on page 4 discusses the halacha of standing for a Sefer Torah. And this, before we even see the Rambam, we might as well see the source in the Gemara for this halacha, and that is the Gemara Kiddushin on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis on page 7. The Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis on page 7 says the following: Yibayim hu ma'u lamod mitnei Sefer Torah. Is one supposed to stand for the Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says, Rav Chilki, Rav Simon, Rav Lazer, Ami, Kal v'chomer, mitnei lomdea omdim, mitfanea lo kol shekei. That if we stand for the Talmud Chacham, for the Talmudic scholar, we stand for him, and they say Vatachum, right, the Torah says that one has to stand for an elderly person, and the Gemara in Kedushin says not only is Zakein an elderly person, but Zakein is Zeh Shakana Chachma, even a person who's not so old, but acquired Torah knowledge, there's an obligation of standing for him as well. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you're going to stand in front for the people who are learning Torah, so certainly we should stand for the Torah itself. And that is the source that the Gemara tells us that there's an obligation to stand for a Sefer Torah. Now, the Rambam, getting back to the Rambam again, on page 4, and Halacha Tes. Kol Haroa Sefer Torah Shehu Mahalech Chai Lamod Miponos. So the Rambam says that anyone who sees a Sefer Torah while it's in transition, while it's moving, that you have to stand for the Sefer Torah. So, say for example, when they take the Sefer Torah out, and then they bring it to the bima, so everyone in the shul has to stand from the time that the Sefer Torah is moving till it gets to its destination. And that is the obligation.
Sefer Torah
And how long do you have to stand for? You have to stand until it reaches its destination. Or until you can no longer see the Sefer Torah. Say somebody's taking a Sefer Torah out of this room to bring to another room. So the destination it might not get to for some time. But once it leaves the room and we can't see it anymore, then everyone could sit down. But until you, as long as it's still in your eyesight, you have to stand up for the Sefer Torah. And that is this halacha. Until it reaches its destination, or until you can no longer see the Sefer Torah. Right, so Rabbi Zinner points out, which we'll discuss in a second, or maybe in a couple of minutes, the big shaila about hakafos. Because hakafos, they take out the Sefer Torah and they're dancing with it, and it goes on for hours. Right? I mean, it depends where you are, but in a lot of schools, it goes on, this became a practice. It wasn't always the minhag. Old minhag was not that. This is a more new yeshiva minhag, which became somewhat the shul minhagim as well, to have hakafas last for hours. The old minhag was that the hakafas, what you just said, Ana Hashem Hashem, went around, and that's it. That was hakafa number one. Then you had Ana Hashem Hashem, went around, and that was hakafa number two. And the whole hakafas was 20 minutes. But that's with the whole yeshiva movement being as strong as it is today, and that became very big in yeshivas, Simchas Torah, etc. So then the whole hakafra situation became from 20 minutes to 3-4 hours. And then the question is, so how does this halacha... how do we observe this halacha of standing? So one could say you have to stand for the 3-4 hours. So that's you can go to the next room. But that's the question: is there an obligation to go to the next room or not? So that we'll get to hopefully before we leave here tonight. Hopefully we'll have some type of understanding of what the halacha is by the hakafas, so you want to sit down in the middle of the hakafas. Right. So technically speaking, normally people have this notion, which it became a minhag, but certainly not the halacha, and that is that when the aron is opened, people stand. Right? That's what we know for Ela, for example, the Aron is open, but that technically is not an obligation. It's a minhag, so people who could do it should do it, but it's not an obligation, because then, for two reasons, not an obligation. There, the Sefer Torah is not moving anywhere. And we saw in the Rambam that the din is that Mahalach, right? And second of all, the Aron perhaps could be considered a different domain, and perhaps, therefore, that would be perhaps another reason why there's not a technical obligation to stand when you open up the Aron. But when the Sefer Torah is moving, then that's a real obligation. Right. So that's another thing. In other words, some people have the minhag of the Maram Lublin, and others to stand during the Kriyas HaTorah. So this is not an obligation. It's not an obligation. There are some opinions that say one should do so. Some say it's like a Dovah Shebekdusha. In other words, there are certain parts of the davening that we stand for. In certain parts we don't. So the general rule is Dovah Shebekdusha, we stand. What does Dovah Shebekdusha mean? So certain parts of the davening, say for example, Kaddish. that's a Dover Shiva Kedusha. How do I know it's a Dover Shiva Kedusha? Because you need a minion for it. So things that you need a minion for are considered holy, holier things, and therefore behooves us to stand. So some say that just like you have to, you stand for Kaddish, so you should stand for Kriyas HaTorah as well. And some say no, the Kriyas HaTorah, even though it needs a minion, it's not called a Dover Shiva Kedusha, then it's not necessarily something that the equation is not necessarily true between requiring a minion and standing. And therefore, and we assume, strictly speaking, that it's permissible to sit during Kriyas HaTorah. And those that want to have this custom of stand, so they can do so. But we assume that it's permissible to sit during Kriyas HaTorah. In fact, this whole notion that you have to stand for a Dovah Shiva Kedusha is not found in our Talmud Bavli anywhere. It's not found there's one Girsa that from some, perhaps a Yerushalmi or something like that, that brings a raya from Ehud, when they mentioned Shem Hashem, he got up, and this idea that the king got up. And therefore, not everyone agrees. In fact, Sephardic, if you ever go to a real Sephardic shul, so they don't stand for Kaddish. Because the person who's saying the Kaddish stands and everyone else is sitting. Right? That's Ashkenazic custom, that we stand for Dovah Shiva Kedusha. And in Sephardic communities do not accept that practice. And Sephardic communities, when somebody's saying Kaddish, Chazan, whoever it is, saying Kaddish, everyone's sitting. And if you ever go, if you feel strange, that's what's going on here. But that whole idea of standing for Dovah Shiva Kedusha is not explicitly really found in Shas. And therefore, again, there's a divergence of practice, whether we should stand or shouldn't stand for Dovah Shiva Kedusha. Yeah.
I noticed in history, the only one answer was
right. Some have this minhag also, when only one person says Kaddish, and now in the shuls today, that's not the minhag. That you have multiple Kaddish. In other words, the real idea of Kaddish is that they would split up, but this person would have a chus to say one Kaddish, another person would have a chus to say another Kaddish, etc. And there wouldn't be more than one person saying Kaddish at a time. You have to realize another thing we're talking about Kaddish now, just parenthetically, that you know the whole institution of Kaddish, you know what it was for? What? It was really made, God forbid, for children who lost their parents, who were not bar mitzvah yet, and came daven for the omer. So they instituted the concept of Kaddish. But, and that's why Kaddish was instituted. But the real schus for the parent is davening for the omer. It's just that these kids who lost their parent before bar mitzvah can't daven for the omer, who said not bar mitzvah. So that's how the institution of Kaddish came about. Yeah, right. And the kids would recite it. So it's not like we did away with it. It's it's just people. Kaddish kind of took its own life on its own right. You know what I mean? But that was the real initial way. Yeah. That was the initial reason of the institution of Kaddish, was for children, not for adults. Adults would daven for the Omer, and they would have all the different kaddishim in the davening. Right? So you didn't need the... You didn't need it, right. Oh. Right, yeah. Right. So it's not like you lost it, but It's not noticeable because, right, exactly. But the real reason was for the children. That's it says that in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in Hilchos Avelos. Okay, now it's interesting to note what is this halacha that you have to stand for a Sefer Torah as long as it's within your vision. You have to stand for the Sefer Torah. So one has to realize that we said that this was learned out from the fact that we stand up for Talmidei Chachamim, right? If we stand up for a Talmud Chacham, and the Talmud Chacham derives his wisdom from the Torah, so certainly we should stand up for the source, the Torah itself. So what is the obligation of standing for a Talmud Chacham? So let's take a look in the Rambam. On page 10. So says the Rambam, in Parashat Halacha Aleph, Kol Talmud Chacham Mitzuva Lahadro. Every Talmud Chacham, it's a mitzvah Lahadro. It's a mitzvah to give him Chavos. Aval Pisha ain't a rabbi. Because even though he's not your Rebbe, you never met him in your life, but as a Talmud Chacham, who you're in his presence, so you have to honor him, and honor him by standing up for him. Shenem avidnei shtei v'tokum v'adat v'pnei zokim, zokim zeh shekal ha-chokma. U'me'im asay chayov l'amo v'ponov v'sheyikro v'imenu b'ar v'amos, ad sheyavor m'kineged ponov. So the Rambam writes that the obligation for a Talmud Chacham to stand up for him is not when you see him. It's only if he comes within your four cubits, within your 7-8 feet of you. Then you have to stand up. But if he's not within your immediate vicinity, then there's no obligation to stand up for him. Because the idea being, because if he's not within your immediate vicinity, then it's not noticeable that you're standing up for him. Maybe you just want to stretch, you know, but it's not noticeable. But if he's coming right near you, he's within your Dalai Lama's, and you get up, then it's noticeable that you're doing it for him. So the question remains, so by Sefer Torah, we said differently. By Sefer Torah, we said that what? That the obligation is as long as you see, even if he's far away. Even if the Sefer Torah is far away. As long as I can see the Sefer Torah is coming. Even though I'm far away, I have to stand up for the Sefer Torah. But by the Talmud Chacham, we say what? I only have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham if he's within my direct vicinity. And direct vicinity means he has to be within Dalai Lama's. So the question is, if the whole source of what? Of standing up to the Sefer Torah is from the Talmud Chacham, so Talmud Chacham we see that has a different halacha. So how can we say, so what's going on? Why should the Sefer Torah should have the same din? That would have solved the whole problem. In other words, as long as you're not within Dalai Lama's of the Sefer Torah, you can sit down. But yet that's not the halacha by the Sefer Torah. We're more stringent with the Sefer Torah than we are with the Talmud Chacham. You're right. This week's Parsha, very good. As Rabbi Zitta points out, this week's Parsha says that it's the end of the Parsha, that when you learn out of Kal V'Chomer, so you don't exceed it. In other words, if the whole source is from of the Sefer Torah, from the Talmud Chacham, so then the Sefer Torah can't be more chomer than the Talmud Chacham itself. And here, we're making the Sefer Torah more chomer than the Talmud Chacham the Talmud Chacham itself. Well, so what's the answer to this question?
In reality, if a rabbi walks in, everybody gets up. And when the yeshiva is, when the rabbi comes in, everybody gets up. So why is that? They all get up. Yeah, so what's going on? So, okay, so that's why you have to continue the shiur. Let's figure out what. Yeah. You want to say something? Okay. So now I'll show you the answer to this question. The answer to this question, so far we did two Rambams, right? We did a Rambam by Sefer Torah, we did a Rambam by Hakachim, and now we have to do a third Rambam. And now we'll find the answer on page 9. Actually, page 8. In the bottom of page 8, in Halacha Zayin. Halacha Zayin. Says the Rambam. Chayiv lamo b'vnei rabo mishirenu mirachot mabo eina ad shizkasa mimeno. Lo yir kambos v'chachi yeshu. So the Rambam is mechadish to us that there are two types of Talmid Chacham. There's one Talmid Chacham who's a Talmid Chacham, but I don't know him from Adam. I have no connection. I never learned from him, etc. So that Talmid Chacham, my obligation of covet to him is lower, because it's only when he comes in my Dalai Lamas. But he's my Rebbe, what the Rambam calls Rabbo, or what we call Rabbo Muvok. So then the obligation is, as long as I see him, as long as he's my eyesight, so then I have to get up for him. So, and then until I can no longer see him. So the answer is that when the Gemara learns out Sefer Torah from Talmud Chacham, according to the Rambam, it's not learning it out from just the ordinary Talmud Chacham, but the Sefer Torah is compared to your Rebbe. And just by your Rebbe, you have to stand up for him. And the obligation is through your whole eyesight. So too, Talmud Chacham, so too the Sefer Torah has that same obligation. Okay? So now at least we know where it's coming from. In other words, so we have three obligations. We have the obligation for the regular Talmud Chacham, we have the obligation for the Rebbe, and for the Sefer Torah, which is compared to the Rebbe. Well, now, we have to try to understand what type of halacha is this to stand up if he's so far away. Right? We explained well that the idea of within, when he comes into your close proximity, it's because what? If you're giving someone kavod, it's only shaykh to give someone kavod if he's realizing you're giving him the kavod. Right? It's, they say about certain rav, and he would speak to Rav Moshe Feinstein on the phone, he would get dressed, he'd pray on verses, he'd stand up, you know, because a certain... Okay, so before that's not, there's no chiv of... Because he can't see you. He can't see you. So the fact that there's some Talmud Chacham who's coming in from far, he doesn't even, I'm so far away from him, so then what's that type of... Right, but the halacha is even if there's just you and him, and there's no somebody else, it also has this halacha. So there's a Sefer Emet Bracha, which you can see here very nicely on page 22. The Sefer Emet Bracha is written by Rav Aryeh Pomeranchik, the Talmud of the Bris Kerov. And he says like this, we know, say, by honoring your parents, there's a mitzvah of kabeda tavicha v'simecha, and then there's a mitzvah of ish imo v'avit tirov. There's a mitzvah of kavod, and there's a mitzvah of lorav. Honor and fear, four. And what are these two obligations? So honoring your parents
See, people don't, honoring your parents doesn't mean that listening to them, if they say they don't want you to go to this yeshiva and you want to go to this yeshiva, that's not part of, or they want you to go to this graduate program, they want you to go to college, and you don't want to go to college. That's not kibbutz aveim. What does kibbutz aveim mean? Kibbutz aveim means that a parent asks for a service. They say, can you get me water? Could you help me put on the coat? Could you service me? I need help with this. I need you to be mishamish. That's kibbutz aveim. A parent is elderly. He needs to help get dressed, etc. That's what kibbutz is. Kibbutz is a service that the child has to his parents. That's kibbutz. Mora means, that means that he's not allowed to sit in his parents' chair. He's not allowed to contradict them. Question whether, if he doesn't follow what they say, he's not contradicting. Pashupshad is, in other words, if he's not listening, they want him to go to college, and he wants to stay in Israel for Shana Nikdalas, whatever. So technically speaking, that's not a problem of COVID, it's not a problem of Mora either. In other words, contradicting means if there's a conversation going on, and the parent is saying this, and you contradict them in talk. So that's not listening. So that's not, there's one opinion, the Sefer Hamakta, that says, well, if you don't listen to them, so then that's also nichlal in contradicting them. By the fact that, not necessarily the simple pshat in Mora. In other words, he says you have to, this notion that you have to listen to parents, at first glance, is not part of Kovar, it's not part of Mora either. It's not, none of the above. It might be good seichel. That's the difference. They say the fifth Shulchan Aruch is the seichel hayosher. So that could be another thing that they should listen if the parents have good seichel. Assuming the parents have good seichel, so then they have to listen to, to the, So that's the idea. By kibbutz aveim, there's kavod and there's mora. Oh. So the same thing says the Emek Bracha to the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, there's kavod and there's mora. So the kavod ha-Torah, so you, in other words, we make sure, we don't keep the Sefer Torah without the mantle, we dress it up, we make sure that we give it a kavod. Whereas we don't just keep Sifrei Torah, just scrolls in the Aron. So we have a certain cover to the Sefer Torah. He says the fact that you stand up for a Sefer Torah is not a din in cover. It's a din in Mora. How do I know? Because he says like this. The concept of standing within Dalet Amos, that's a din in cover. Like for a Talmud Chacham who's not your Rebbe. You have to give him kavod. And it doesn't make sense. If he's not within your Dalet Amos, it's not noticeable, so then that's not kavod. Mora means that if I'm anywhere near the Sefer Torah, so I have to be in like an awe, in trepidation. That's something for me. It's not that I'm giving, well, you don't give awe to somebody. Kavod you give to somebody. Or is the state that I'm supposed to be in. So it's like this. Your Rebbe, not only you have a chiyuv to give him kavod, you have a chiyuv of mora. So therefore, even if he doesn't see, you have to stand up. Because that's a chiyuv of mora. So the chiddush says the Emek Bracha in the Sefer Torah is not only is there a chiyuv kavod of the Sefer Torah, is there a chiyuv of mora. And the concept of melo einav is part of Mora. So in the Hanami, it wouldn't make sense. If the whole din is only a din of Kavod, it wouldn't make sense to have to stand from so far remote. But since it's a din of Mora, so then you have to stand as well. So let's see that inside on page 22 over here. He says, Nira, paragraph, the first Nira. Levad mitzvahs kibud, ikanami sefer Torah mitzvahs mora. Yosh b'mora l'fnei ha-sefer Torah. Kimo b'rabo mufak. Right, just like your Rebbe, you have to have the same thing by sefer Torah. B'zen yomad nami mehay kavachoma. Because of Aram Shem, that kimo l'fnei ha-sefer Torah ain't a b'tor da'ala amos, ela kimlo ainot. Kimo b'rabo mufak. Whereas it's not only a din of da'ala amos, it's the whole mindset. So it says, "V'shamati mimoni the Rabbi Hagon Abbez in the Brisk." Now it's Rav Sal, that's Rav Salveitchik's uncle, the Brisk Rav. The hard of Tzarch Lokum with the Rabbi Mubak will ain't of the Midian covered. Shri Hakima b'nei Tamachachem ain't of Dal Ramos. In other words, it's not a din of cover the fact that you have to get up for your Rabbi, even for such a distance. What's the kibud, right? So it must be Ella who mishum din mora rabo sheika barabo mufak. In other words, by rabo mufak, by your rabbi, you have a din of mora tzitz. You have to be in fear of him. Or respect. The taking of Shiras Rabbo Tzarech Liwa Mimenu Lokum Machmas Yira. In Kain Gamma Say the Torah had the Tzarech Lokum of Fanah, Melo Enab Gam Kain, who Mishum Mitzvahs. In Kain Gamma Say the Torah had the Tzarech Lokum of Fanah, Melo Enab Gam Kain, who Mishum Mitzvahs Mora. Is that because of Ram Rusham, Ko Mishi Yosef, when he said the Torah Yosef, because of Rosh, the aim of Afachat Mishum Dika Beinami Mitzvahs Mora. And now, so that's how it's explained very nicely, this idea, the distinction between Rabbo and Stam Tamachachem and how it applies to a Sefer Torah.
This would apply to Mora'av.
Right, so it is brought in Shulchan Aruch to stand up for parents as well. So that they should do. They don't have to listen about the Shana Dal in Israel, but they should stand up when the parents come into the room. So, right. Well. Now, there is another halacha, which is an interesting halacha. Let's take a look back in the Gemara and Kedushin. Take a look. Yep. On page, see. Yeah, page 7. Lamed Gimel Amadeus, page 7. So it says the Gemara. Ein Talmud Chacham Rashai Lamol Bifnei Rabo El Shachris Va'aris Kidei Shelo Yei Kvodo Merubo Mikvod Shemayim. But how many times during the day do you have to stand up for your Rebbe? So I would have thought 1,000, as many as but Ochara becomes a little ridiculous, because if you're with your Rebbe, they say you're in the Beis Medrash, and your Rebbe's there, and you're the whole day, so you can spend the whole day standing up and getting, it becomes a little bit, I don't want to use the word absurd, but it becomes a little, tedious, overdone, you're constantly. So the Gemara says, no, you only have to get up your Rebbe twice a day. Once in the morning, and once later in the afternoon, later in the evening, whatever. Why is that? Because the respect for your Rebbe should not exceed the respect that you have for God. And just like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we say Kriya Shema twice a day. In other words, Kriya Shema is the ultimate respect, because we're accepting upon ourselves the servitude of accepting the responsibility of fulfillment of mitzvahs. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad once in the evening and once in the morning. So too, our respect that we have for our Rebbeim does not have to exceed the respect that we have for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Parenthetically, there is a discussion whether we have a concept of Rabba Muvak, Bizman Hazeh. Because, you see, in the old times, there was no printed Svarim. So anything you learned was from your Rebbe. You had no other source of learning other than your Rebbe. The discussion today, that one learns from a Rebbe, but then he could do a lot of learning from, you know, printed Gemara, printed Oxford, you know, all the whole library. So then the question is, a person's Rebbe, does he still have that status of Rabba Mumo, or maybe he just has the status of Talmud Chacham, and that, you know, Talmud Chacham has the din of Kavod, but not necessarily the din of Mora. So that's a discussion that the poskim have. Maybe in certain yeshivas, it has a different type of meaning. Oh, but this is an interesting halacha. That this halacha is that you only have to stand up for your Rebbe twice a day. Now the post can point out that's only if you're with your Rebbe constantly. But say for example, like you're with your Rebbe the whole day in yeshiva. And then you go to a wedding later at night. And then the Rebbe's there also. So you already stood up for him. So everyone, he comes in, everyone's walking out, you're not, it looks very strange. Now everyone's standing up, and you're not standing up. He said, I already stood up for him already, but the other people don't realize that. So then the post can say, if you're in a situation where it's not going to be noticeable that you already stood up before, so then you have to stand up again. But if you're, like, you're living in his house, you're in the Beis Medrash, and he came in the morning, and you stood up, and then later in the day, he walked out, and then he came in again. So, and then the rest of the day, you don't have to stand up to him. Oh, so now I'd like to get to the question of what Rabbi Zitter raised: of is there any kula for Simchas Torah? So there are several possible discussions of leniencies for simple. Some posts can hold, no, there's no kula, there's no leniency, and if you want to sit down, then go to a different room. But I'll show you a comment that Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you know, it's typical of his sensitivity and his understanding on page 30 in the footnotes. Page 30, footnote 33. He doesn't think it's proper. In other words, if you're going to say that all the elderly people have to leave the shul and it's only the young people who could be there, he doesn't think that's a proper thing. So it has to be that we have to find a heter to let the elderly people stay in the shul and also let them sit down. So how are we going to, so what are we going to find a heter? So I think there are two very good heterim for this, to let people sit down during hakafos. Well, at this point, he's not saying what the heter is, but he'll say it's a different part. So let me tell you what I think, and it's found in the Sefer B'tzal HaChochma, B'tzal Stern has these two heterim, and others have these two heterim, and I think each heter on its own is what to say for it. And that's the following. Heter number one is, and this is a friend of mine suggested many years ago, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And that's the following. The din that when you take a Sefer Torah and it's still moving, you have to stand up until it reaches its destination, until it stops, it reaches its destination. So So that means like this, if you're coming to try to go from point A to point B, and you're still getting to point B, and you didn't arrive at point B, so you can't, no one can sit down if they can still see the Sefer Torah and didn't arrive to point B, unless it's out of your eyesight. But when you're doing, dancing with the Sefer Torah, Simchas Torah, it's not going to point B. It's just dancing around and around in one location. So Mamela, that's called its location. It's not like it still has to get to a destination. The whole circle is one big makom. Yeah. So that's what Shlomo Zalman himself said this as well on page 29. Take a look on page 29 on the arrow here. He says, Chada, the Kevin Shamina Lirkod in Masechet Torah. In other words, it's considered in it's in one makom. This is its makom. It's not going to, it's not like it hasn't yet gotten to the makom yet. It's in the makom. It happens to be that it's moving, but that's not the moving that what the Rambam was talking about. The movement the Rambam was talking about when you needed to bring it from one place to the other, and yet didn't get to that place. So that's you have to stand up for. So that's one heter that's given. And the second heter, and the Sefer Tzal HaChokhma says this heter as well, is based on what we just said. That by Rabbo we said you don't have to stand up more than twice a day. So, and we know that a Sefer Torah is learned out from standing up from your Rebbe. So maybe a Sefer Torah also, you don't have to stand up more than twice. So, meaning, in other words, what it's pointed out is, when you take a Sefer Torah out, and you bring it up, and then you bring it back, that's called one time. In other words, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, that you have to stand up when the Sefer Torah is brought to take that, to create the Torah, and then when you bring it back, you also have to stand. Because you bring it back. But that's called one, the Tzal HaChokhma writes, that's one unit, so to speak. And then, when the, so therefore one could say that the same thing, but by maybe even could say that each HaChokhma at the beginning you can stand up or something like that, but to have to constantly be standing up, maybe that's exceeding the obligation, just like we said by, and that's what the Sefer Tzal HaChokhma points out, that maybe that's, that is considered the excess of an obligation, and therefore that wouldn't be required. So these two possibilities, I think, all you need is one good heter, right? So that's why I feel that there's definitely what to say for a, especially people who are not so young and are not the ones who are jumping around for 3 hours, and the young people are causing the hakafas to go for so long. At least they should let the old people sit down. I think that these heterim have validity to them. The Chazanish had a different minhag to sit down. And that's brought down on page 24. He had a different twist to sit down. In other words, not based on the two above. He had his own twitch. That's his own twitch. Take a look on page 24. 24 is from the Sefer called Orchas Rabbeinu. Orchas Rabbeinu was written by Rav Avraham Halevi Horowitz, who was the brother-in-law of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who was a close Talmud of the Stifler. He's a close Talmud of the Stifler, and basically he was the Stifler's right-hand man, and he was with him for many years, and he recorded all the different practices of the Stifler. It's a fascinating statement. It's 5-6 volumes. It goes through everything he did on Pesach, and everything he did on Sukkot, and everything, and how different halachic opinions that he was following, etc. It's a fascinating thing. So every once in a while, he'll quote something from the Chazanish, because the Chazanish was the Stifler's brother-in-law. Despite, by the way, despite what told this Avram Halevi Horowitz, he told him to write two Sfarim, not this one. He never told him to write this. This was his own. I think, you know, he wanted to record, after the disciple passed away, he wanted to record things that Stifler, the Sfarim that he wrote in the bequest of the Stifler was, Stifler told him to write a Sefer at Hilchot Yichud. So the Sefer Dvar Halacha, which is the classic Sefer on what the, you know, prohibitions of man and woman being in a room together, etc. So that Sefer. And then the second Sefer he told him to write was on if a person writes with one hand and he does his other activities with the other hand, which hand to put on tefillin, which is a whole discussion. And the answer is still not fully resolved, but those were the two Sfarim. But in addition, he wrote these Sfarim. So he says like this, he sat down, Hazanish sat down the whole Hakavas. The Hefsik Sefer Torah Kotten Kosher B'Yodim. So his heter was that, the question is, if you're holding a Sefer Torah, so then you don't necessarily have the chiyuv to stand for a Sefer Torah, because you're holding a Sefer Torah. So the Chazon Ish held a small Sefer Torah that he was able to, and this way he solved the problem. The Sefer Torah, so Nassal and Maran, the Sefer Torah, Yoshim of Sefer Torah. Rav Echad Shehikes Maran Hisiyase Valyubei Yad Maran Vishalo Mashul Acha Shahazul Dabar Maran Shahubo Yoshav Nisefer Tov Biyodha Bo Yodeh Shahazul Mashav Shahom Nisefer Tov. Okay, so that was his way out of doing that. Okay. And this idea is, as you see in the packet here in the Rosh Sherm, but others have this notion. Okay, let me just review what we discussed this evening, and we'll continue with this packet next time, as well as we didn't finish the other aspects. We discussed that there's a mitzvah of Kavod Sefer Torah, and that mitzvah has very various aspects to it. One aspect is the aspect of standing up for Sefer Torah, that's learned out from the Kal Vachomer, and then we discussed that there's a obligation to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, so there's an obligation to stand up for the Sefer Torah, but the Talmud Chacham, we said there are two types of Talmud Chachamim, one is Stamat Talmud Chacham and one is Yerevi, so Stamat Talmud Chacham you only have to stand up with the Dalar Amos, and Yerevi below Einav, and we said that the idea of the of a Sefer Torah is patterned after your Rebbe. And that's Melo Einav. And we explained, what is this idea of Melo Einav as long as it's within your eyesight? So we explained that there's two halachas, just like by Kivan Ava Ein, there's a halach of Kavod, which means to service your parents, and there's a halach of Mora, that you can't contradict them, you can't sit in their place, etc. And that's the din of out of awe and fear. And we said that the Sefer Torah is as it also a din of kavod, there's a din of dressing the Sefer Torah up, so to speak, just like there's a fear to service the parents, so there's a fear to service the Sefer Torah by making sure it looks nice, etc. And then there's a fear of mora, that when the Sefer Torah is anywhere in your sight, you should be in a state of awe and trepidation, and therefore you should stand up for the Sefer Torah, and that's why you have to stand up for the Sefer Torah, even if it's not in your direct vicinity. And then we explained that on Simchas Torah, perhaps one could say that there's an obligation to stand the 4 hours of the Hakafas unless you don't leave. And that's how many B'nai Torah are taught. But perhaps one could be Melamed Chus on the individuals who sit, either saying that that's called getting to its destination, because it's not going anywhere, or one could say that just like we said that there's a limit up to the obligation of even standing up for your Rebbe, you only have to stand up chakra to others, so to the Sefer Torah also
has a limit of how many times you have to stand for it as well. Okay, so the next time, Bez Hashem, will continue with other obligations and other halachas that Chazal instituted also to show respect to the Sefer Torah. So we'll in 2 weeks.